Downloads of this show are available on Podomatic.com and the Podomatic mobile app.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the live broadcast of... What would save the world?
Veganism.
Gun control.
Ending capitalism.
Consensus.
More guns.
Nonviolent communication.
Anarchy.
Green energy.
Spirituality.
Law regulation.
Emotional education.
End the war.
Libertarianism.
On drugs.
Socialism.
I'm Tuke Edelo, and this is
What Would Save the World on Radio Free Brooklyn every Wednesday from 3 to 4 p.m.
And we will be talking about quite a few things today. I am enjoying, not really, this sort of up and down. This is sunny for a second, raining another second, kind of like, hey, your summer's completely over bullshit. And it's like, it's all right, but like, I'm really hungover. I got really drunk last night after being on a commune that I used to live on for the entire weekend from like Thursday through Monday. And like, it's just a little bit upsetting when you come back out into Babylon, as maybe hippies will call it. And it's not even really a hippie commune, because a lot of people there work their fucking asses off. And there's this idea that hippies don't work. And I also see hippies as very much like, you know, I actually see hippies as kind of the same thing as hipsters, in the sense that it feels like hipsters talk the talk, but they don't walk the walk. Same with hippies. And yippies walk the walk. Yippies walk the walk. Yippies are hippies that get arrested. Yippies are hippies that actually stand up for what they actually do some shit with it. Like, I have a lot of issues with this activist, and I'm not afraid of saying it, because like, I have a lot of issues with the way he talks to women and the way he... Well, I don't know if it's the way he talks to women, but the way he tries to get people to organize with him, he is, like, relentless to a point where it becomes a little bit like harassment. But Dana Beale, who started the Yippie Cafe, was doing all kinds of like incredible things at some point. And I realize now, allegedly, maybe I should not be speaking about this on the radio, so I'm going to move on. But what I'm going to say is that the Yippies are fucking awesome. And I think that a lot of people that I know who live on communes are not just fucking hippies. They're more like the Yippies. Even though they don't get arrested, they're putting their fucking labor where their mouth is. They're actually doing the work to fucking create something, like to help build up this idea of improving the world. And everybody I talk to down there has that sort of energy, this idea of like, we can experiment, we can do this differently, there's always an alternative. And I really, really value that. So I'm a little bit losing my mind a little bit in this Randian, Ayn Randian New York, where it feels like even the people who are anti-corporate and even the people who are anti the system, fuck the system, man, are still, and including myself, are still holding to these, like, what would we even call it? Like, holding to this, like, individualist, like, artist-serving thing. Like, it's like, oh, it's so radical to be the next David Bowie. But, like, how radical is that, really? Like, when you talk about radical, like, what's radical? Like, yeah, David Bowie's fucking cool and, like, pushed... Well, I'm sure it was more radical at the time, because David Bowie pushed, like, gender barriers and pushed all that kind of stuff. But like, when it came down to it, he was basically just like some cis dude. Not just some cis dude, a very, very talented cis dude, who apparently did some really shady sexual things, like much of the great musicians that we tend to worship. You know, we do a really good job of that, don't we? We do like a really, really good job of worshiping in extremely problematic cis males. Like, that's something that has been going on all throughout history. Problematic cis males are like where it's at. We got Stalin, we got Hitler, we got Trump. Like him or not, he's definitely worshipped by some people. We got Tyler Durden. Like, all those people, Tyler Durden, I understand, is a fake person. I'm like waiting for, like, I feel like every time I talk shit about Fight Club, I like Fight Club, like, don't get me wrong, but I like believe it's about the alt-right and the part of Antifa that I don't like. I love Antifa for a lot of reasons. We're going to talk a little bit about that later. But the parts of Antifa that I don't like are about, that's what Fight Club's about. It's about Antifa and the alt-right and the crap that they're doing. Not to equate, fuck Donald Trump. But anyway, as I am way pro-Antifa and the alt-right can literally go fuck itself and not come. Like, I really hope, I would love it if, like, they could never come again. I think that's, like, a really, really good way to destroy the alt-right, is try to get them to not come. Which is pretty much what they're doing to themselves. The Proud Boys are like, oh, don't jack off and all this weird shit. So the... Anyway, so the thing is, we worship these like problematic fucking men, and I feel like just worship in general is what has fucked us over. Worship in general, like to worship, like the fact that people are worshipped, and then other people see that and want to be worshipped and want to be legendary and want to be like the messiahs. Like David Bowie, for some people, is a messiah, and I'm glad people like have something they can like believe in and something that inspires them. And I think David Bowie plays a role similar to like Lady Gaga, where it's like, baby, I was born this way. I'm different and I'm cool. And like, that's the way it is. And I'm weird. And there's nothing you can fucking do about it. And that's fucking great. And I'm really happy that it exists for people. But I still think that like individual worship and worship of an individual is incredibly toxic. And we're going to get into that a little bit more later in this show. But first, let's talk a little bit about the DACA. So the DACA, I heard about this after on the bus in the commune, and I don't even, and so I have this thing from Derek Lemos. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. They are a comic that I have never met in real life, but we are going to be hosting an open mic this Friday at Two Booths in Williamsburg called the Polyglamorous Open Mic, which is in combination with Cinderblock Comedy Festival. And Cinderblock Comedy Festival is a comedy festival that charges as an early bird a submission for anybody who is not a white cis male, and it is a lower submissions fee, and it's like later on white dudes can submit. We do take white dudes, we do, if they're good. But it's like the pay is like to on the dollar or whatever the fuck, you know, that whole deal. So it's pretty funny. But Derek Lemos and I are hosting this open mic from 8 to 9, and I'm also going to be in a comedy science fair tomorrow that starts at about I believe it starts at like 7. I'll give you more info on that later. So okay, so this is what Derek says. When we talk about DACA, we're not just talking about who came legally and who didn't. That's a convenient talking point, but when you hold it up to scrutiny, you can see it for what it really is. Racism fueled by white supremacy. You can see it in the community, school, and workplace raids, that this is a targeted attempt to intimidate undocumented young people of color. Australians, Canadians, and Europeans aren't cowering the same way that Black and Latinx communities are. 800,000 DACA recipients doesn't cover the full impact of its disintegration. Each dreamer has family, friends, romantic partners, employers, community members who will be impacted by the removal from the U.S. Yet defending DACA isn't enough either. It's one law that keeps the wolves of immigration at bay. We have to protect undocumented communities by demanding sanctuary laws and end to deportations and detention facility holds. And provide an actual pathway to citizenship for those who want it. This is going to have a broader impact domestically too. Public schools will lose funding because undocumented kids will, if they haven't already, stop going to school. Employers will lose labor, like we saw in Alabama when SB 56 was passed. The agricultural community couldn't find domestic workers willing to get paid, so little for so much, they turn to prison labor for harvesting crops. You see worker protections and commodities being peeled away, leaving citizens open for exploitation and privatization. The American infrastructure relies on the exploited labor of immigrants. Getting rid of them is our peril. Denying them basic protections is our peril. The risks get passed down the line from workers to consumers. Crops will rot on the vine. Industries will tumble because immigrants are not there holding up the local economy. It's more than they do the work no one else does. It's the predatory capitalism that has made it impossible for workers on any level to get ahead. And this is another step toward the ultimate goal of complete privatization. The plight of the least of us will be the plight for the rest of us if we don't ensure protection for undocumented people. From providing fair, livable wages to strong unions to healthcare to holding corporations accountable for workplace violations, what happens to undocumented people is a mirror of what we can expect to come for us. So I think that Derek has a lot of really great things to say there, and I agree. But something that I think that we should say, fuck Cheetos, and like, I see that it's a larger problem than they do the work nobody else does. I think that everybody should be learning how to garden, and I think that should be a collective effort. I think the way we manage our food should be a collective effort, and I think that the fact that most people don't even know how to garden, or not most people, a lot of people know how to garden, and it's pretty self-explanatory, but like in the sense that like we don't have a lot of gardens in New York, I think we should be utilizing entire rooftops as gardens. I think that we should be building overpasses with gardens. I think we should build like the High Line there's like plants and shit on there, but why is that not like more of a giant community edible garden? So I think that that's part of the problem with the food stuff. I mean, the foods, we're not just talking about food. We're not just talking about food. We're talking about labor, and we aren't talking about people who are, but they are doing work that is underpaid and being manipulated. And yes, I hear what Derek's saying, that like it will follow us all, but let's take a little turn for a minute here and talk a little bit about how I think we should make white nationalists work the crop fields for $2 an hour or less, or nothing at all. The fields can be their fucking nation, and their trade can be giving everyone else literally all the healthy organic vegetables, but only the white nationalists should be doing this, though. I'm like against classism for anyone else, but for anyone else who isn't a fucking Nazi, you know? I'm gonna play this song. So I've been listening to this musical Ragtime, which I never thought I'd like, because the cover of it is straight up like the Statue of Liberty, but with like an American flag and shit. And if you listen to my show at all, you know that I don't fucking like America. Like, I like things about America, and I think it's like great that a lot of people want to come here and that it feels like a place where there's like a lot of diversity and shit. But it does have a lot of diversity, but it has a lot of a lot of segregation among class and among race and among gender and among all this other shit. So it's just like I'm very, very frustrated with this idea that America has been this great place. And I feel like there's this idea that like that after, you know, there was a fucking genocide of the people already living here, a whole new age started and we became a beautiful, perfect country. That never fucking happened. All right. So, but in this musical Ragtime, it's more about like immigrants and like the civil rights movement. And it's about the beginning of the century and like just a bunch of different things going on. And there's this Emma Goldman, the famous anarchist, is like in it. And this is like, and this I want to play this weird song where Emma Goldman is like narrating this young activist going to this older activist and what he wants to say, but then it like then he just says some other shit. And I don't know, I've been kind of into it
for, the classroom.
I've been kind of into it for the past couple days, and I want to play it. Alrighty, so this is called "He Wanted to Say."
I want to. I know that if
he wanted to say, I am here because I have to be. He wanted to say, I am here for what is right. Every day I wake up knowing what you've lost and what is owing. I would shed this skin if I could to stand with you and fight. He wanted to say,
I am not who I appear to be.
He wanted to say,
do not blame me for my past. We have different lives and faces, but our hearts have common places. This was deep inside me, and you helped me find it at last.
Two men meeting for a moment in the darkness.
One turning from
America. Two men fighting for a moment in the darkness. They're the same. If there's such a thing as justice, let me help you find your justice. This I do for you and for Sarah, who lies in her grave. But all he said was, I know how to blow things up.
Okay, I'm not going to make you all listen to that fucking ridiculous, like when they have the chorus, I mean, the whole thing is ridiculous. Like, I'm sure, like, if you listen to me and you talk to me, you know that I'm fucking musical theater freak and, like, how ridiculous that is. So, anyway, you've been listening to What Would Save the World on Radio Free Brooklyn. You can listen to other episodes on whatwouldsavetheworld.podomatic.com. We're going to go back to ragtime in a little bit after I go on this other rant. So, I came back from this communities conference, and there's all these amazing places all over the fucking country that are, like, working together and are trying to, like, build eco-friendly this and trying to, like, basically live in, like, communist bubbles but also engage in activism. So it's sort of like, I call it, like, ripping down what needs to be ripped down while simultaneously building up. And that's ripping down the systems of the past. And I feel like there's not enough of that in New York. There's just not. There are activist spaces, but I still feel like I don't know what it is. It's just so hard to, like, really organize in New York. I think it's so busy. I think it's such an expensive city. I think it's a very, like, I think New York is a very counter-revolutionary city, and that's, like, so funny because of how people like Emma Goldman were here and how many movements took place here and, like, the Stonewall riots and so many fucking, like, pivotal moments in history happened in New York City. But right now it's completely, like, the gentrification is fast as fuck. Like, I remember being in Williamsburg at some weird artist lingerie party like 10 years ago, and now that place is like a mini mall, that building. And it's like, and that's like, you know, fucking lingerie parties, that's not what New York's about. But, like, that was when people who were not, like, extremely well off could afford to live, when, like, you know, broke ass, like, art students could afford to live there. And I'm sure they're not even that broke, because I'm sure their parents were paying for half that shit and they were doing, like, mad ketamine and whatever. This was fucking early thousands. or, like, the early, like, yeah, like, 2008, 2009. And that's not even 10 years ago. That's not even 10 years ago. And then when I was going to those parties, you know, and, like, we're over here by Radio Free Brooklyn, like, 10 years ago, like, literally 10 years ago, my friend lived over here when I was about 15. I'm 25 now. There was fucking, it was quiet over here. It was quiet over here. And now it's like there's a party 24 hours a day, pretty much. And I kind of like that. Not that there's a party, but I like that, like, there's always fucking people out and shit. That makes me feel safe because I'm a fucking community person. Like, I love community. But I guess what I'm trying to say is it feels like New York is really, like, bad for activism. People don't give a shit. People are just super, super busy. And it's, like, so... Okay, so here's what somebody said. Jim Vigotti, who's, like, one of my favorite listeners, he listened to me. And I gotta read something he said about the DACA in a minute. He said, we're all busy as fuck trying to make the rent and buy food. Exactly. That's true. This is an extremely expensive city and prices continue to rise because people who, like, I guess, I don't even understand who these people are. Like, these people who, like, move to the suburbs, like, these families based in, like, American richness. I don't fucking know who the fuck these people are who just keep moving here and have this money. I don't know where this money is coming from. So I guess it's just, like, white supremacy with their big, like, fancy ass jobs. Like, I mean, like, I grew up in New York and I was pretty well off, but not like these people, not like these kids. Like, my family was, like, somehow figured out. I don't know how the fuck my, you know, shout out to my mom if you're listening, and she's not, but thanks for being a good mom and, like, figuring out how to survive in this fucking city. Because I am glad that I grew up here, because I feel like it introduced me very quickly to a lot of different kinds of people, a lot of experiences. And, like, that's something where I feel like a lot of middle America does not have a concept of racial and class divides. Like, in New York, you don't have to fucking look at any statistics to see it. It's right in front of you. I could walk four blocks right now and, like, see it within those four blocks. Just the fucking, like, inappropriateness of, like, inappropriate. That's such a shitty word to describe it. It really is. But you know what I'm saying? It's like, it's so, classism is so clear in New York, and social divides is so clear, and also social connections. Then you can see very clearly in New York that a lot of different kinds of people can work together and be friends and create together and collaborate. You know, all these things do exist in New York. So it is a double-edged sword. A lot of things, Ay, New York is a fucking double-edged sword. And I'm going to read Jim Bugatti's thing if I can fucking find it. I said, who wants to talk about the DACA on Facebook? Because I'm trying to find people. And he commented something about it. So we've read Derek Lemos's thing. What the fuck? My phone is full of crap. All right, let's pull, it's loading. You've been listening to What Would Save the World on Radio Free Brooklyn, by the way. This is my hungover rant episode. And I'm also going to start talk a little bit about this workshop I did at this community's conference, Radical Sex Working, What Does Sex Work Look Like Beyond Capitalism? Because I'm a sex worker. I'm a sex worker. Sex and drugs and rock and roll, man. All right, I can't just fucking comment. I'm sorry, Jim. I want to read your shit, but it's not loading. Maybe it will eventually. So basically what I want to do is I want to communize New York. I don't want to be, I'm not like your fucking classical communist. Like, I don't want to have like a top-down hierarchy. I don't want to make like some like guy said, I don't want a fucking Stalin. I don't want a Mao. I don't want a fucking figurehead. The figurehead is you. The power is you. Like, they're not you. I don't want a utopia. It's not about you. I don't want a messiah. It's not about me. I don't want to be the messiah. I want a weetopia and a weesiah. Oh, here we go. Jim Vigotti. So he said, my two cents on DACA for what it's worth. Okay, DACA is being discontinued. The protests have started with more to follow. I have to ask, why are we protesting to protect and reinstate DACA? DACA was a quick political fix to help the previous administration put in to help young people who came here illegally as young children. DACA is only a promise by USG to participants in the programs not to enforce immigration laws that would result in their deportation. It does not offer them resident alien status or a pathway to citizenship and is subject of renewal every 2 years. Big whoop. Those in the program get to work and pay taxes and not have any real guarantees as their continued living in this country. What the fuck? My fucking phone slid off of it. Holy fucking shit. Damn. Okay, here we go. Continued living in the country. If we are to do anything about DACA, let's take Donald Trump's offer to Congress seriously and put the screws on our representatives and senators and put DACA in the form of legislation. But let's not legislate the status quo, but legislate the means for these people who live and work here, who are our colleagues, neighbors, and friends, to get resident alien status or citizenship so they would no longer face the threat of deportation. All right, that sounds good. I'm down with that. But let's also talk about the fact that anybody who has to immigrate here, specifically if we want to talk about like the people who are actually being targeted, let's be real here, the people who are actually being targeted by these immigration laws are people of color, are black and brown and indigenous people and people who are from South America, who are indigenous to this area. People who are from Mexico are more indigenous to this area than any fucking white American is. So the fact that we think that we have the fucking gall to say that, no, these are our borders and we put these up here is fucking disgusting. It's horrid and it's inappropriate. I like using that word inappropriately. I mean, like, inappropriate. It's horrid. It's horrid. And what would save the world on this? Just fucking open borders. When I went to the Women's March, I started chanting open borders and nobody fucking chanted with me. I'm so okay. So let's get to my fucking... Thanks for the shout out, Jim Bugatti said. Yeah, you're welcome. So I'm gonna tweet right now. So we're about to cut in and we're gonna talk some crap about liberal democracy on here. So what is your least favorite thing about liberal democracy? That is what I'm tweeting. Hashtag what would save the world. So you can look up that hashtag or you can look up you can look at my Twitter, which is 2K, like the number 2K, EDALOW. Or if you're fucking friends with me on Facebook, just comment on there. But what I will do is I will read these things. I got to open my Facebook on my fucking computer because my fucking phone is full of fucking shit and I am so fucking awful. Also, if anybody wants to offer me a job doing anything at all, I'm trying to quit my current job. And what you could do is you can offer me a job. You can email me at Took, T-O-O-K, radiofreebrooklyn.com. I'm good at art. I'm good at a lot of things. Let's just say that. I'm just good at a lot of things. So if you want to offer me a job, let's do that. Anyway, let's move on. So I want to fucking... I want to collectivize New York. I'm going to communize New York in the sense that I would like to start more kinds of communes here. I would like to start more places where people work together, where people are doing activism together, where they don't have to worry and stress about their rent at the same time. I would like to create something where we are figuring out how to take the money from the very rich and put it into like collective pursuits where a bunch of people are surviving off of one person's money. Like, so for example, like, what the fuck, phone? Stop. My phone is the worst thing ever. Oh God, I'm a dumbass millennial. I wish that we could figure out, but basically the way a lot of communes work right now is they're internally communist and externally capitalist in the sense that they run some sort of cottage industry and the money from that is pooled for the entire community and pays for the infrastructure and the food and everything that is needed for these people. And these people work without a boss. So just when you buy from one of these companies, you know it's not the same as buying from regular business because you know they're not exploiting their workers and that the workers are all the manager. So that's fantastic. And I wish there was more things like that in New York. There are worker-owned businesses and shit, but it does not, but it's just about the money. It's not actually about minimizing what's, it's not actually about being sustainable in what is bought and what is like, for example, like if you buy bulk orders of food, you're probably wasting. If you're pooling your food and eating the same from the same things, you're probably wasting a little bit less. And you can there's more of like it's a community. There's more working together. There's less waste. There's also composting. New York doesn't compost enough. I think we should be converting our entire sewage systems into composting systems. So I'm saying that I think that there's not enough effort in that way in New York that is outside of the liberal democracy that is trying to build something alternative, that is trying to... I just want people to give up their fucking allegiance to liberal democracy, and I want to eradicate the dollar. What I would like to do is get as much money as possible to create sustainable systems that don't require money to continue. For example, like I'd like to start gardens, I'd like to start houses, and I would like to like buy up a bunch of property and figure out how to make it. We'd still have to fucking pay property taxes for now. I'd like to get rid of that. I would just like to make it that there's a garden and there's like all the people. I would like to create sustainability that does not need money to continue sustaining it. Let's just put it that way. So that way we can fucking take all the money from the bougie motherfuckers and be like, okay, well we bought up like this entire fucking like neighborhood and now your money is no good here. We don't use money here. Like I would like to take away the power from the dollar. I'd like to take the power away from capitalism and the systems that people have bowed down to for so long. So like, and that's why I'm really proud of Antifa, though I don't agree with them on everything. Like they have no allegiance to liberal democracy, as it was so perfectly stated in some interview with like an Antifa expert who was actually kind of pro Antifa. They were kind of back and forth on it. But so like, I'm so happy that that kind of idea is making moves in the media, that like liberal democracy isn't always the way to go, because liberal to me means that there's it's like an idealism of our systems, thinking that they are flawless. And it's like a fucking religion. Like these liberal Democrats, like they bow down to this system, this thing that is like detached from humans, something that we created, and think that it's God. Oh yeah, sounds like God. Okay, I'm not an atheist, but still, whatever. Okay, so our systems have been proven over and over to be flawed, and the system liberals defend is the very same system that allows Donald Trump to have as much power as he does. Like, and the presidents don't have like that much power, but they really do. Like, think of all the things he's been able to fuck with since he's been president. And he's also like not succeeded in some of these things, but he still has a lot of power to fucking freak the shit out of people. And he's a lot of power to get bills where they're important. He's been able to fuck with immigrants. He's been able to fuck with Muslims. He's been able to fuck with anybody coming from a country that is considered to be a quote unquote Muslim country. He's been able to fuck I'm missing shit right now. But he's been able to fuck with immigrants. He's been able to fuck with healthcare. He's been able to fuck with the military. And he's been able, even though they say, oh, well, that's not an official thing or whatever, but he's been able to fuck with a lot of people and make a lot of people fucking nervous. And like, I agree that, and like, even if you agree with an individual president's decision, they have way too much power. They have the power to pick their entire cabinet. So the cabinet is primarily on their side and they can fire as they please. So we basically stopped having kings and went on to elect our kings. And we treat our first families like the fucking royal family, and they get to live in a big white house made by fucking slaves. So I want people to lose their allegiance to this liberal democracy and who believe that it's always gonna help us and it's always gonna succeed for us. Like the fact that like so many things were blocked by him, like so many things have been blocked by Congress and shit. That's great that happens. But what about when it doesn't? Like what about when that doesn't happen and it doesn't always happen? He's gonna get away with a lot of things. And I also think that he's gonna get away with a lot of things. And I just think it should be very clear to people that your allegiance to this system and your allegiance to this like idea of the system being in it for everybody is such a fucking failure. Like when people like want to look at like things like Ferguson or like protests that they consider to be violent and they want to be like, oh, that's so like un-American and that's so unproductive. It's like it's fucking gaslighting. It's like when a system has not worked for a group of people for a long time and they finally lose their shit. Like, can you really fucking blame them? Can you really fucking blame them? And, like, nobody was fucking paying attention to them before. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, people were like, oh, Black Lives Matter, that's cute. They smashed some windows and people fucking freaked the fuck out. But people fucking know what's going on now. People like me were like, hey, I hear you. You're really fucking upset. This shit's really fucked up. Maybe I should fucking try to help you. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, why are people faster to defend the fucking capitalist corporate like system? Why are people so quick to defend businesses and infrastructure before they're willing to defend people's lives? Do you know what I'm saying? There's a weird thing there. Like you can think that property destruction is not that great. Like I'm not saying you have to love property destruction as a tactic. But what I am saying is when you're more concerned about broken windows than you are the people who are breaking the windows, who are doing it because they are so fucking tired of being unheard, that is straight up gaslighting. If you knew a woman or a person, let's make it a woman though, because there's a fucking thing where women are the most like fragile and important. Save the white woman. Oh, God. So there was some fucking white lady who was being fucking verbally abused over and over and over and like for years and years and years. And then she like physically abused too. Physically fucking abused. And then she broke her fucking boyfriend's window and destroyed his house. Would you really be upset with her? Or would you be like, you go, girl? Okay, so that's my point here with people who commit property destruction for causes. Do you know, like, why are you more concerned about the broken window than you are the fact that, like, fucking black people, black and brown people have been terrorized in this country by the police and by the prison systems? Like you, like Derek's thing said before, you know, the plantations just went and converted themselves into private prisons. So they got to keep fucking slaves. So you're more concerned about some fucking broken windows and those people? Get the fuck over it. Like, are you serious right now? God, Adonai, God damn it. Okay, let's see if somebody, okay, never mind. I thought somebody was commenting on my what do you hate most about liberal democracy post, but they were not commenting on that. So let's play one more of these, like, ridiculous, like, things from Ragtime. So basically what ends up happening in Ragtime is this guy, his name's, like, Cole House something. What the fuck is his name? I don't remember what his name is. But he ends up, like, trying to blow up a library and Booker T. Washington comes and tells him not to do it. And this whole, like, fucking argument about peaceful protest versus, you know, fucking property destruction. But this is a really intense song that I love. Brian Stokes Mitchell. This guy's got the craziest voice ever. So here we go. Why isn't it working? There.
Go out and tell our story. Let it echo far and wide. Make them hear you. Make them hear you. How justice was our battle and how justice was denied. Make them hear you. Make them hear you. And say to those who blame us for the way we chose to fight, that sometimes there are battles that are more than black or white. And I could not put down my sword when justice was my right. Make them hear you. Go out
and tell our story to your daughters and your sons. Make them hear you. Make them hear you. And tell them in our struggle we were not the only ones. Make them hear you. Make them hear you. Your sword can be a sermon or the power of the pen. Teach every child to raise his voice, and then my brothers, then will justice be demanded by 10 million righteous men. Make them hear you.
Pisses me the fuck off. Just like how many like revolutionary musicals, like in like all the fucking Les Mis, they all say like men. So that's why I came on. I said femmes. Like I want to change it to a million righteous femmes. I just think that's a better way to go about it, to be honest with you. But yeah. So if anybody wants to call into the show, you can call in at call in to talk shit is what I'm posting on Facebook. You can call in at 718-928-9732. That again is 718-928-9732. Call in to talk shit with me on what would save the world. Let me edit that so they know that it's what would save the world. What would save the world on Radio Free Brooklyn every Wednesday from 3 to 4 p.m. And then I usually come in and I go, hey, you guys, I'm hungover. I'm so fucking hungover. Oh, my God. I'm such a fucking hungover crazy lady. So, I don't know. I think that, like, magic is possible. And I think that's what people on communes believe. And I'm not talking about, like, magic. Like, ooh. I'm not, like, woo-woo, okay? Woo-woo is commune slang for someone who, like, is, like, super, super pagan, which basically means super, super, like, culturally appropriated in like a sort of like white girl like trying like who think that they're like fucking Celtic or like white people are Celtic. I don't know you know what I'm talking about, like people who think that they're fucking like into voodoo or think that they're Buddhist priestesses because they found an Om symbol on the internet and then they usually left and went to they usually like go to Burning Man. They're all at Burning Man right now, so probably why I love the communities conference so much that I go to, because all the Burning Man people are at Burning Man and they're not there to like make us talk about how we should burn something instead of just I think we should burn some things, but maybe not some like random little fucking temple thing. So I said, what is your least favorite thing about liberal democracy? And someone commented, direct democracy is greater than representative democracy. You know, I agree. I think that's difficult on a large scale. And when people say that's difficult on a large scale, sometimes I want to reply to them, do you think we should even fucking have a large scale? Whoa, asking the big questions about the small things. Holy shit, micro macro. Whoa. And that's what I just illustrated to you before about micro macro in terms of like, you know, if you're okay with somebody being abused and then bashing the windows of their abuser, then why are you not okay with somebody being systemically abused and then bashing the windows of the system? Duh. Also, somebody wrote Burning Man. What's your least favorite thing about me too? Because Burning Man, it's like, okay, like look, like anybody who's listening to this and like, I'm a burner and I'm really cool and I do all this cool activist shit and da 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 da. Like, oh my God, I'm sorry, that's so gross. If that's true, like that's fucking great. Like I'm glad, like if you go to Burning Man sometimes and you're doing other fucking awesome shit in your life, that's great. But like all these fucking insurance salesmen who like, and if you're an insurance salesman and that's how you fucking handle your fucking livelihood, because unfortunately everybody needs their fucking capitalist shit tickets. You know, we all need that shit. So I get it. But if that's all you're doing and then you go to Burning Man and you want to like pay for communism, you want to pay for some really bougie ass communism, then that is not included. And unless you pay, you can't be part of it. And in some ways that's what communes do too. But a lot of them, it's just about your labor. Like if you work, if you work, then you can be part of it. And if you, but that's not how Burning Man is. And Burning Man is fucking like paying for communism, and that's fucking ridiculous. And so, anyways, I was on a point about woo woo ness, but Jim Vigotti just fucking said some shit to me. He said, 2 cents. There will always be some form of capitalism governed by supply and demand with some medium of exchange. What else did they say? They said, think of capitalism as Little House on the Prairie. What? No, that, okay, that's mutualism if you want to talk about exchange. The problem with capitalism, when I'm talking about capitalism, I'm talking about somebody who is making something and expects to get more back in return. That is like, first of all, against like the laws of nature, first of all. Like it's not equal. It's not an equal. I'm looking for equality, and I think mutualism is not capitalism. Is capitalism is built on capital and building up your capital house and making it. So I just think that it's this whole process of like hierarchy of value, and I'm not down with that. I'm down with like, hey, like, does this benefit you? This also benefits me. And some people could say that's how capitalism works, but it's not actually an equal thing. For example, if I go to McDonald's and spend $9, the person I spent who helped me with those $9 or gave me food for those $9 are getting very little of that. These hierarchies of systems and shit are fucking ridiculous. And they said, this is what Jim Vigotti says. He says, the abuse of capitalism comes with a concentration of property and money where farmers become plantation owners. Yeah, I'm not down with the concentration of money. I mean, I'm not down with the concentration of property and money, which is exactly what capitalism is. That's hierarchical capitalism. And you could say there's like a fucking free market and shit, but I think it would always end up that way because someone would start hoarding resources. And he says the shop, and Jim Vigotti says, the shop owner becomes the CEO and the local moneylender becomes JP Morgan Chase. So I want you, Jim Vigotti, to figure out how we're going to fucking prevent that shit. All right. Help me fucking figure out people. I don't have all the answers. I have this obnoxious ass show, but that doesn't mean that I have all the answers. That doesn't mean I know shit about shit. All I know, I'm some chick who fucking dropped out of college, went around the country with Occupy and fucking fucked a bunch of white dudes with dreads and did a bunch of fucking drugs. And I didn't do heroin though. I didn't do any of that shit. Not that that makes me like better or anything. Like heroin is like, anyway, let's not get into heroin. But what I'm saying is like, I lived in a commune for a couple years. So all that I know is I know that collectivist work can exist. And I got to plug in my fucking computer for a second because this shit's going to die. So what we're going to do right now is we're going to just start playing some like Moonlight Sonata for 5 seconds so that this shit doesn't fucking die. And then we're going to rant a little bit more about this. Oh my God, everything's a disaster. I don't know. Okay, I'm just going to plug it in and talk really fucking loudly. Can you all fucking hear me out there? All right, so fuck capitalism. Fuck capitalism. If you want to help me, I know that like magic can exist. I was on this point of magic, and Jim, I'm going to read your last tweet, and he says, you are a gadfly, the most important role in society. I don't know what a gadfly is. Please tweet at me what that means. But I got to move on to talk about this magic thing. So in my opinion, magic is like learning to work with what we have. And I don't actually think that's like what Burning Man is doing. They're actually going out into the middle of nowhere where there's nothing and trying to put it out there where there's nothing. And then sort of like kind of fucking with the natural state of things. And apparently like the playa is in worse condition and whatever. Anyway, but please, Jim, tell me what's a fucking gadfly. I'm dying to know what that is. So basically, the way I describe, so there was this whole thing that went on recently on the internet with an activist in New York who said something about somebody said on my thing what was your least favorite thing about liberal democracy. Someone said, the dumb outnumber me. But I think the fact that I can experience compersion is magic. So I'm polyamorous, also known as polyglamorous, as I like to say that, which means that I have multiple romantic partners. And for a long time, I was extremely, extremely jealous all the time of my partners, even if I wasn't polyamorous or even if I, whatever, I was jealous all the goddamn time. But then I learned to pay attention to my body's reactions and how I felt in my mind when I was watching like a partner with another partner and like why, or another person and why, how the jealousy happened. And I was able to teach myself to adjust those reactions and find the complexities and the feelings and find the love in there and find the care and find the ability to feel compersion, which is the opposite of jealousy. Compersion is when you can see a partner with another partner, or you can be happy for another person's love and another for your lover's love. And you can feel compersion in a multitude of ways. It can also be like, oh, like you don't have enough time to spend with me. Well, I know you're going to go do this other thing that makes you happy and that makes me happy for you. So you can feel compersion even in a monogamous relationship. But the fact that that is magic to me, to be able to take the natural, the things that you can't control, the things that you could scientifically understand, but the things that are going to happen, whether you understand them scientifically or not, and you learn to use them and you learn to utilize them and create with them and build with them in terms of, like, the same with gardening, the fact that I can take a shit and and put natural materials on it, and that those natural materials will break down and I'll be able to grow food out of it, and that food can be eaten and that food can help create more life. That cycle alone, that's magic. And I believe that the fact that anybody can work without a boss, that a group can work without a boss and be in such sync and learn to work with each other without forcing each other and without coercing each other, without forcing each other, without abusing each other, without exploiting each other. The fact that that can happen, that's magic. And I want people in New York to commit to building that magic. And I'm hoping that I'm not the only one, and I know that I'm not the only one, because I've met plenty of people who feel that same way as me, and I most of them I don't meet in New York, and if I do, they're more focused on their art and their Randian bullshit. Jim Vigotti said, a gadfly is a person who interferes with the status quo of society or community by posting novel, potentially upsetting questions, usually directed at authority. The term is originally associated with the ancient Greek philosopher Socrates. Oh, whoa. I'm like, Socrates, stop worshiping Socrates, but don't worship me. Don't worship me. Think of me as a collective effort. Erase my name. Erase my name. Erase my name. Take me out of the picture. Just take my words for what they are and repeat them. I don't own anything. I own nothing. 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 All right, so we're gonna play another song by Brian Stokes Mitchell. But this one's not from Ragtime. This is from Man of La Mancha. Here we go. Wait, it's still playing some other shit. What the fuck?
Dream, the impossible dream, to fight the unbeatable foe, to bear with unbearable sorrow, to run where the brave dare not go, to rise the unrightable wrong, to love pure and chaste from afar, to try when your arms are too weary, to reach the unreachable star. This is my quest, to follow that star. No matter how hopeless, no matter how far, to fight for the right, without question or pause, to be willing to march into hell for a heavenly cause. And I know if I'll only be true to this glorious quest, my heart will lie peaceful and calm when I'm laid to my rest, and the world will be better for this. That one man, scorned and covered with scars, still strove with his last ounce of courage is my quest,
without question or pause. You'll be willing to march into hell for a heavenly cause. And I know if I'll only be true to this glorious quest, that my heart will lie peaceful and calm when I'm laid to my rest. And the world will be better for this, that one man, scorned and covered with scars, still strove with his last ounce of courage.
That was The Impossible Dream by Brian Stokes Mitchell. It's from Man of La Mancha. And I realized I said I was going to talk about radical sex work on this episode today, and I just started ranting about allegiance to liberal democracy. And, you know, I'm glad that I did that. And I think part of that is also some. So I went to this communities conference this weekend, and on a whim, I taught this workshop called What is Radical Sex Work, or also called How Do You Fuck the System While Literally Fucking? And it turned into this really, really great conversation. I kept talking about, like, how can we sell? I started talking in very capitalistic terms, like, how do we sell body positivity? How do we make consent sexy to a market? How do we promote different kinds of bodies? And then we got to this point where we started talking about how people seem to have this sexual entitlement. I was like, well, what do we do for people who can't find sex? And then, but the one thing we talked about with that is about something, I think it's going on in Europe somewhere, where people who are in hospitals or disabled, there are people who help them relieve sexual tension. And I think that's something that will always exist, and we'll figure out if we ever move past money, if we ever get out of capitalism, that is something that we will have. But in terms of somebody, I said, well, what about people who just can't find anybody to consensually have sex with them? Are we going to be able to provide that service for them in a post-capitalist society? And somebody said, well, they probably could find someone to have sex with them, but like, are they looking for a certain standard? And so then I started thinking, are the people that I'm attracted to, is that based on some sort of conditioning and the images and the things that I was shown when I was younger? Because what I've realized is, in terms of like using Tinder and going on these blind dates with people, I just find that a lot of people, just even if I find them purely physically attractive, I don't find them attractive. Their pheromones are wrong for me. And then I'm wondering, well, maybe there's a lot of people that I'm not looking at physically, that I'm not attracted to physically, who would smell right to me. So are the physical attractions that I have, are they only based in like biology? I'm not so sure, because in history there have been in some societies, with the larger the woman was, the more attractive she was considered. And then there's this whole like, then there's chubby porn and shit, and that's just not like a fetish thing. I think that's just like a thing, you know. Some people like different body types, and I do think that a lot of people feel like they're not allowed to, or that they shouldn't, or that someone's like below them, and that this whole like physical hierarchy. So we got to break down patriarchal standards, and we have to break down sexual entitlement people have to have the certain kinds of bodies. And so, I still think we would have services for certain people. But that was a really interesting conversation we ended up having. And then I was, of course, talking about how, you know, get the most money you can out of like, you know, corporate people, and fucking I met like a developer from my childhood neighborhood, and I was like, oh my God, like I should get as much money out of you as possible and put it towards my causes, because you are so not helping with my causes at all. You know, I like, your causes are the antithesis to my causes. So you've been listening to What Would Save the World on Radio Free Brooklyn. And it's been a lot of fun. I really enjoy doing this episode, even though I'm hungover as fuck. We got Tom Tenney coming up with Brooklyn Bandstand next. You're going to hear local New York music. Some of it's going to be playing tonight, and you can go out and see that. You know, get you know, cheer yourself up from this rainy day. Go out and hear some music. But yeah, you've been listening to Puppet Save the World on Radio Free Brooklyn. My name is Took Edelo. If you want to be on this show, you can email me at took@radiofreebrooklyn.com. If you can't tell already, I tend to interact with my audience a lot. If they contact me, I will read their shit. I'm into that. But let's play this song by Peter, Paul, and Mary called The Great Mandela, The Wheel of Life. And I like it a lot. So we're going to do that. And that's going to close off the show. We're going to go right into Brooklyn Bandstand. So thank you all so much for listening. You can check out my other episodes at whatwouldsavetheworld.podomatic.com. Thank you.
So I told him that he'd better shut his mouth and do his job like a man. And he answered, "Listen, Father, I will never kill another. He thinks he's better than his brother that died. What the hell does he think he's doing to his father who brought him up right? Take your place on the great Mandela as it moves through your brief moment of time. Win or lose now, you must choose now. And if you lose, you're only losing your life." Tell the jailer not to bother with his meal of bread and water today. He is fasting till the killing's over. He's a martyr. He thinks he's a prophet, but he's a coward. He's just playing a game. He can't do it. He can't change it. It's been going on for 10,000 years. Take your place on the great Mandela moment of time. Win or lose now, you must choose now. And if you lose, you're only losing your life. Tell the people they are safe now. Hunger stopped him. He lies still in his cell. Death has gagged his accusations. We are free now.